Hello, and a warm welcome to the Reform Party podcast. There's quite a lot been going on in the world in the last few weeks, and to let you catch up with it, I've got my special guest today, Mr. David Burgess-Joyce, who's chair of the Reform UK Wirral. Hello, David.
Good afternoon, Ken.
As I said, there's been a lot for what is normally a sleepy place. There's been a lot going on in the world in the last few weeks, and it all began about 3 weeks ago, when the council announced that there was going to be a change of what was happening at the King's Gap Hotel. Now, the King's Gap Hotel is a hotel in Hoylake, and for a few years now has been housing migrants. However, what seems to be happening is that the current batch of migrants, who are mainly, as I understand it, women and children, are being moved out, and they're being replaced by a bunch of single migrants, single male migrants. That's your understanding?
It is, Ken. You're right with your timelines. About three weeks ago, it started, and it started organically. It certainly wasn't something that we started as a Reform Party. I know there's been some rumours that we started the ball rolling, but we didn't, in fairness. And I took the decision that we shouldn't probably attend there in person because we didn't want to make it political. And it has been a resident-driven protest. I've been there most nights on the other side of the road, just keeping an eye on things, and it's been extremely peaceful. There's been a couple of arrests, but they have been certain people from out of town, I think it's fair to say. But the hotel had for many, many years families, and they caused no problems whatsoever. They were fairly well accepted into the community. Their children were going to school. They were relatively well integrated. And I think if you look at some of the protesters, they're not anti-migrant. They're actually thinking it's unfair what's happened to these women and children because they've been dispersed and they've settled in Hoylake. And the council, not the council in fairness, the government intends to replace them with what we've heard a minimum of 129 undocumented males into 55 rooms. Now you can see that's a potential for major problems in what is a sleepy little town like Hoylake. The residents are genuinely concerned for their women and children. A lot of it has been purely organic. They have had a lot of abuse from people who've come from out of town who are, I think some have been described as Antifa, the Green Party councillors who've been quite abusive, and I've seen that myself personally when I've been there, and a lot of people who genuinely want more and more migrants into the country. They want open borders. And this is where the flashpoint has occurred. But I've not seen any aggression from the people who are protesting against what's happening. I've not seen any abuse. There's certainly been no reform banners. But as you may well know, Ken, we've done our own work behind the scenes in order to try and get this hotel closed to these large group of male migrants. And I don't know if you want me to explain what we've been doing.
Yes, well, we'll go through that. I mean, I should say though that although we decided as a branch that we wouldn't participate as a reform branch in the protests, it's worth saying that the protest was initiated by John Hughes, who is in fact a prospective councillor for reform. Is that
Yes.
not?
Yes. Yeah, no, that's quite right. And there are a couple of people there that I recognise who are members of Reform. But in fairness to them, they haven't stood there on that platform. They've stood there because they are, in the case of John, for instance, he owns his own business locally, and he has family there. And so he's there primarily as a resident. However, he is also keeping a very tight control on things. And I have to say, all credit to him. And he was there today again. And he's there pretty much every day, from what I can see, and they do tend to look to him for sort of direction and guidance. So yes, he is a prospective candidate for the Reform Party, but he's also a concerned resident as well.
Yep. I know. I think John's come out of this very well. He's from what I've seen, he's been doing a fantastic job.
Absolutely.
So what we decided that we wouldn't participate as Reform in the protests. So what have we been doing?
Right, well, we visited in force, it's fair to say, outside the offices of Matthew Patrick MP, who is the local MP for that particular area. He's about a mile down the road. We basically put a letter through his door asking him to intercede on behalf of the residents. There was a large turnout of both residents and obviously reform activists as well. That was very well attended, and I think probably even we were probably surprised as to how well attended it was, but it just shows the depth of feeling, Ken, locally. And we also, the following day, did a similar protest outside, one might suggest, a very important person and somebody who has the levers of power here, but Dame Angela Eagle's office in Wallasey. And of course, as you know, she's the Minister for Border Security and Asylum. So a lot of what could or could not happen at Hoylake sits in her remit. We've also written to the leader of the Labour Council, and we've done quite a bit of work to try and get her to follow the Epping model. So Epping Forest Council has successfully won an injunction at the High Court. They've done a how-to guide, from what I can gather, because they knew lots of people were going to come forward at some point. And I believe today, Wirral and I think it's Tamworth, Ken, forgive me, I may have that wrong, but those two councils are Labour councils, and they have put forward that they are also interested in following the Epping Forest Council's route.
What responses did you get from Matthew Patrick
Well,
and Angela Eagle?
Matthew Patrick did not respond, which I have to say I was quite surprised, given that he's the local MP. I did actually think he'd respond, even if it was a negative or a holding pattern. I did think he'd respond, but he hasn't. Unsurprisingly, Dame Angela Eagle did not respond, but apparently she has rather a track record for that. We wrote to Paula Basnett, the leader of the council, Wirral Council, on the 14th of this month, and again on the 19th. And again, she did not respond, but we do think that a lot of what we've put pressure on has come to fruition, because that pressure hasn't come from any other party. On the Wirral, we've got a Conservative Party that seems to be talking a lot, but doesn't actually do anything on the ground. And we've not seen any sight and a sound of them in any of the sort of protests that we've had. I believe the Labour Party is a bit split on this, and it's fair to say that the leader may well have some difficulties going forward. But what we do know for definite is that the Green Party, of which there are 14 on Wirral Council, they are adamant that they are very much pro-migrant and open borders. And they've made that very, very clear, both their attendance at the hotel gates, but also online on their web pages. They've made it very, very clear they do not support the local residents in Hoylake.
Well, it's disappointing that Ms. Basnett didn't see fit even to respond to your letters. And I have been watching very carefully what she's been saying. And while she's giving the kind of general impression of being considering taking legal action, an injunction, which is what we asked her to do almost 2 weeks ago, she's not committing to doing that, as from anything that I've seen, and is very much saying we're taking external legal advice and blah blah blah. But by the time I worry that she's just trying to push the can down the road to when the thing loses its edge, if you like.
No, you make a very valid point, Ken. I think we have checked, and there's been no change of use of any hotel on the entire Wirral since 2020. So we know for a fact that there is nothing there with regards to this hotel. There are those people, particularly in the media this morning, who are trying to infer that the Epping case is not the same as the case in Hoylake. But the irony is, it is. And the same process can apply. It is a change of use that is required. We're led to believe, and again, this is strong rumour, we're led to believe that the poor people, the poor families that are still left in the hotel, have been given a curfew at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's almost like a prison for them, which is appalling, because the people outside, who are the Hoylake protesters, if I can use that term, actually are quite happy to chat to them. And when I was there this morning, there was a Muslim lady who came up and thanked John Hughes for all the work that he'd been doing. So the animosity, ironically, isn't from those people in the hotel. It's from the mainstream media and politicians. It's appalling.
It is unbelievable. I mean, one of the reasons that we decided that we wouldn't participate actively in the protests was we didn't want to alarm women and children in the hotel. I mean, these people have, assuming, and it's much more likely that women and children are genuine asylum seekers. So you imagine some poor family torn from Syria or somewhere and put into the hotel. And from what I understand from everybody in the community, they've all fitted in well. The children are attending the local schools. The local church is helping with making them feel welcome, etc. And for them to then be sent to, I think I saw the northeast or somewhere uprooted and torn away again, it's monstrous.
Well, John and a couple of other people this morning told me that for one of the families, I don't know how big that family was, but one of the families, a taxi turned up quite late in the day to take them to Northampton. I mean, could you take them much further? I mean, it's truly appalling. I mean, they've settled here. They're well integrated. As I say, that they're causing nobody any harm whatsoever, and it proves the lie from Antifa that all the people who are protesting are racist, far right, knuckle dragging thugs. Because actually, the people there are just as concerned for those families and the way they've been treated as they are for the fact that they're a bit scared of 129 undocumented men coming into their town. So it just lends a lie to that accusation. And I've got to be honest with you, we've supported the protesters 100%, but and as you quite rightly point out, Ken, we tried not to sort of look as though we're jumping on the back of it in order to make a political point. And you'll see from the letters that I wrote to Paula Basnett that I finished off the letters by saying, this is more important than politics, and I stand ready to help in any way that I can, because we don't want the problems that are happening in Hoylake. And I'm happy to help the Labour Party in any way I can, but what I'm not going to do is allow them off the hook. Because as you quite rightly say, Ken, this could just be a smokescreen to just kick it into the long grass.
Well, I've looked at the planning laws and so on in quite a lot of detail, and if Paula Basnett wants some external legal advice on the strength of a case for getting a High Court injunction, I'm happy to give her it. And I have to tell you that it's exactly the same situation. The hotel, in order to function as it's currently doing, needed a change of use. It's no longer functioning as a hotel, and it's only got planning permission to function as a hotel, and it's not. So it's quite clear to me that any High Court injunction she wanted to try and take out would be successful.
I mean, you've got other arguments where people are saying, well, it's terrible because if you close the hotel, you get the injunction, those poor families that are still in the hotel will have to move out as well. Well, they're being moved out anyway, Ken. So it doesn't apply to them. They're being moved out. What we are really, and what the real concern is, and why the injunction is so important, is because of these huge numbers of undocumented men. And, Hoylake is a very genteel town, and it is unacceptable that that large number of people, male, who have, let's be honest, proclivities that may not necessarily fit comfortably with Western society, they have different attitudes to women and children. Not all of them, of course not, but it only takes a small proportion, and we've got an issue. And so that's why these people are genuinely concerned. They're not racist, they're just concerned.
Well, after the Epping thing, and assuming that stands up, it seems to me that the Labour Party nationally have got a huge problem, because they have all of these asylum seekers in all these hotels up and down the country, and it looks to me as if the once the dominoes start to fall, that they will all be having to be moved out. Now, the question I've got is, where are they going to be moved out to? Now, the obvious answer, what's been going on over the last year, is that they have been closing down hotels and moving the occupants into houses of multiple occupancy, and that's been going on. And I happened to be looking at the planning committee the other night when there was a planning application which had gone in originally in 2023. To it was tearing They were tearing down a snooker hall, I think it was, and they were replacing it with a building which had 30 individual bedrooms, and this was a they had flagged up the in 2023 they'd flagged this up as an HMO. And what then happened was that this planning application came back completely unchanged. So the planning application was the same, but this time it was for domestic use. And I said, I wrote to the chair of the planning committee, Stuart Kelly, and asked him what he thought this building would eventually be end up be used for. Because unless Snow White's going to move some of her dwarves in, there's no logic to how this could ever be used to accommodate families. Now, I did get an initial reaction from him, but I've not really had an answer yet.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think I made it quite clear to somebody who interviewed me this morning. They were saying pretty much the same thing, in the sense that if you close the hotel down, then you're going to have to disperse all of these males into HMOs across the country, which will cause even more angst amongst residents. But of course, what we're failing to do, Ken, is we're actually looking at it from the wrong direction. They shouldn't be here in the first place. They're illegal. And so this is the problem we have with the mainstream media and politicians. They're saying, well, what are you going to do with them now? Well, what you want to do is cut off the flow. And you and I could cut off the flow tomorrow by stop making Britain an attractive place to come. They come from France, which is a safe country, so therefore they can't be asylum seekers by dint of the nature of France. And France doesn't give you any benefits until you've been there 5 years. So there's a bit of a clue there, Ken, as to why they want to travel across the channel to Britain, this land of milk and honey, where literally we pile on the milk and honey at the expense of our own people. And I think reform is almost getting to the point where it's the safety valve. That's the way I look at it. We are the safety valve to stop the country going berserk, because the anger out there is palpable. It's actually quite scary, if I'm being honest, Ken. I'm genuinely quite scared of what's going to happen. To me, reform is the only thing that people can pin their hat on to say there's a bit of hope at the end of the tunnel. If reform get into power, this might all go away. Now, we're not a magic bullet, but we can do an awful lot of good. I just hope that when it comes to 2027 for the local elections on the Wirral and 2029 nationally, people don't hover over somebody else's box on the ballot paper, and that they vote reform, because the only way we're going to solve this is by having a fully loaded reform government. Not doing deals with other parties because they haven't got enough seats. They need to be in complete and overall charge in order to save this country. It's quite scary, Ken, but there is some hope.
Good, Luke. Well, thanks very much for that. I appreciate it, and I know it's been short notice, but I think it's been worthwhile. And I have high hopes that we will get things solved, and I have high hopes that we'll get things solved both on the world and in the country more generally. And thanks again, David, for being on.
Thanks, Ken, for all you do. Thank you.